As you mentioned, I'm going to talk about the security trifecta: platforms, applications, and stores. Basically, how the three things together come up together, and basically trying to push it from an enterprise view and how enterprise business is actually going to be affected or is already being affected by it. So, as I was mentioning before, I work for IoActive. I'm a senior security consultant there. That basically means I do pretty much a lot of stuff. I do everything from reverse engineering all the way down to PCI. Luckily, I will say that that actually gives me a broader view of things, from the bare bones of how to break applications and all the way down to how to actually, from a PCI or a compliance point of view, how to look things from a risk management perspective and how to approach those vulnerabilities and how we actually affect business. So what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about security, obviously, a little bit of infrastructure designs, the mobile operating systems, the mobile applications, the stores that those applications are obtained from, and the actual platform used to provide in, and then some other ideas that as we move along. So let's start with platforms. Clearly, in order to have a mobile device environment, we need platforms. Right now, the three main players, I will say, there are Microsoft Windows Phone 7, this is the newest one, Apple iOS, which is kind of like the grandfather, and now we got Google Android as well. I do not include BlackBerry. As you may know, it is clearly an enterprise player, but as we move along from, you know, from here now on, I think these are the three platforms that have, you know, the most chances of actually reaching out there. I think they are the ones that offer the most apps, the ones that are on the game, and the ones that actually I'm interested in discuss as well. So it's a little bit of subjectivity to it. So what do we know about those platforms? You know, what do we know is bad? What are the known issues of it? Clearly, we know that, you know, everybody can jailbreak their iPhone. Everybody can, at least now with Windows phones, some of them also you can unlock them. We heard in the news there's many, many known vulnerabilities already reported in libraries, in the platform itself. The person who was presenting before already, you know, told you that even the Windows phone, it's fairly new operating system, already vulnerabilities on the OM, which for my talk, I would consider that as part of the platform. Also, you know, you can run an unmanaged code, as was talked before. Basically, what we've seen that is, you know, companies such as Google, Apple, or Microsoft are constantly updating and keeping up to date their OSs, but there's always going to be vulnerabilities. I mean, we have, ever since we have OSs, we have had vulnerabilities, and something we can have to deal with. Nevertheless, we being the ones that control those platforms, as, you know, call it Microsoft, Google, or Apple again, are the ones, are the places that we actually have much more control, and the places we actually can actually enforce a lot of security into it. Because of that, it's kind of like the platform that we can easily answer to and push updates and make sure that it's a, you know, the good bare bones to actually set up a good and secure platform. So what kind of things do we find nowadays to actually make it a little bit better? A lot of them provide system-wide encryption. Windows Phone is not one of them. As you may heard, obviously, iPhone does it. Google Android as well provides system-wide encryption. And Windows Phone, as I mentioned before, currently it does not. I don't know if in one of the updates it will, but as of today, it does not. They also have the normal OS level protection, sandboxing, which all of the platforms do provide. Address space layout randomization, which was provided just recently in iPhone, and it will be provided in, I think it's Ice Cream for Android. And it was, from the beginning, it was on Windows Phone as well. And that execution prevention, which is also a feature that Windows phones had. So from a security, currently security perspective, we could say that even though Windows Phone is the new kid on the block, it looks like you actually took a look at what was happening out there, took the lessons from the other platforms that actually, from the beginning, applied them and started with a good OS, a good secure OS. Yes. one of the things that I didn't mention before is, yes, iPhone does provide system-wide encryption. Nevertheless, it's already been proven that it's not as secure as that we all expect it to be. You do have a couple of tries, and there's already known ways out there in the wild that it will allow you to actually brute force that for, you know, digit really secure code and encryption password, and you will be able to obtain all the data. You may ask yourself, you know, why this is important, why we should provide this kind of security to the system. It's just, you know, normal people using it. But remember, as we move along and already enterprises are starting to use it, we've seen that a lot of businesses are using these systems or devices to provide all kind of applications and platforms. And one of the examples that I like to give constantly is, I'm not originally from the US, so when I first went to the doctor to, you know, get a check, I saw that the guy had an iPad with an application, and I was like really happy. I was like, oh, awesome technology, you know, it's really cool, he's doing it with an iPad. But at the same time, I had in my head, it's like, I should sign papers that say I do not allow him to share my information. Nevertheless, he's looking at it on an iPad, which clearly means that if that iPad gets lost, I'm pretty sure they're caching that data in there, and oh my gosh, you know, what's going to happen, how secure it is. I could bet money that if I ask the IT department, they will say, oh no, this is really secure. It's just connecting back to our, you know, really secure Oracle down there. It's encrypted, all the data is secure. But at the end of the day, he has to display it, so it's going to be on the phone. You know, how really secure is the app? And they will say, I have no idea. That's the app, the application that he bought from, you know, the app store or whatever, and it is what it is. So that's one of the reasons that as we move along, we're going to see more and more of those cases where nowadays, you know, the mobiles are no longer devices for end users, you know, to play Angry Bear and check Facebook. They're going to become the way that we do business, if it's not already the way that we do business. Hence, we need to protect it. We need to make sure that if the phones get stolen from a platform point of view, enough security is provided. One of the good things about Windows Phone, even though it doesn't have system encryption, it does provide an application layer where actually you can encrypt data, sensitive data in the applications. Nevertheless, we all know that if it's not mandatory, a lot of people is not going to use it. So by default, we can assume that data is going to be unencrypted in applications. So, you know, now we have platforms. We know they're vulnerable, but we have control over it. So it's bad, but it's not as bad as it could be. You know, we can always fix, patch, and push new updates as we do. What happens with applications? Application is that landscape where there's clearly an explosion of it. I mean, I think Apple did a really good job in saying there's an app for that. We have applications for pretty much anything, including good ones and bad ones. What are the consequences of that? The consequences are that as we move along, you have these companies pushing developers to develop an app. You know, our competitor has an app, and you go and talk to the guy who develops the website and says, you need to create an app for us because our competitor has one, and you need to do it for, you know, next week. Obviously, the guy has no kind of experience, you know, and that's the worst case scenario. It could be that they go, you know, outside and hire a good company, but it's usually not the case. You're going to try to do it in-house. And the guys have no idea what to do. He's going to have to, in 1 week or 2 weeks or a month, be able to, you know, study this entire new platform and try to deploy an app. Clearly, it's kind of easy. A lot of them are already available. If you develop apps or in Apple, it's Objective-C, maybe it's a language you're, you know, already familiarized with. If it's Android, it's Java, you might be. But still, there's a lot of things, there's a lot of infrastructures and a lot of thinking on how to, you know, secure the apps and how to secure the data that as a web developer, maybe you're not aware of, maybe you just don't know. I mean, clearly it's not the same thing of storing a credit card data on a server side than storing a credit card data on a mobile phone. What are the implications? How you secure it? And a lot of times they say it's only going to be one client. You know, what could happen if it gets stolen? They're only going to be able to steal his credit card. But it's not the case. If you're able to inject a piece of malware in that phone and attack millions of people, you're going to get millions of credit cards because that application stored that sensitive piece of data on its, you know, unencrypted SQL-like database. Given the fact that, you know, we do work in a company that has security, one of the things that we do run into is a lot of times lately, it's companies coming to us to actually check their applications. So as we started checking, and I start, and actually personally start getting into more like I started with Android applications, I kind of felt back like I was back in the 90s, early 2000s, where I was doing web app assessments. And pretty much I found a lot. I mean, I could literally give web apps to my sister, and she will, even though she doesn't know security, she will be able to devise some kind of issue. And that's the way I felt when I first started looking at these applications. Clearly, they have tons of issues, and issues that you're like, why would they even be there in the first place? I'm talking about things such as SQL injection, crisis scripting, believe it or not. A lot of the apps on the any of the stores are web-based. They're used in embedded browsers. So a lot of you will see a lot of crisis scripting. Maybe some of them are a little more complex, like ASCII-based, where you actually have to execute something on a response, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of them are just normal, reflective crisis scripting that everybody knows about. And when you talk to developers about how you can, you know, how somebody can exploit crisis scripting on a web application is, well, dude, first of all, it's a browser. Second of all, you can still apply it. It's just going to execute like it's executed in any other PC. It's a computer. And you can still steal a session. You can still do impersonated app. You can pretty much do whatever the same things you do in a web space on a mobile space. And when you, and one of the funny things also is that when you see the app that these guys are developing, it's the same persons that are developing their web apps, and you see their web apps, and they're really secure, but you see their applications, and they're not even following the same kind of security implications they're doing it. So there's not even kind of a policy of security awareness regarding what kind of applications or how to code those applications. Another thing that we see a lot is hard-coded credentials. You know, nowadays, everybody wants to be social. Everybody wants to include social factors in their applications. So I've seen many, many, many times a lot of applications that they put their third-party secrets and, you know, keys within Java code or .NET code. And remember that out of the three platforms we're talking about, the only platform that it's somewhat encrypting the binaries and actually using Objective-C native code, it's iPhone. The other two, it's either Java or .NET, which reverse engineer them. It's just running through a reflector or, you know, GD GUI. And, oh, wow, I reverse it. I have the source code. It's really basic. Everybody can do it. Last but not least, as I've been mentioning before, we have insecure credential storage, which is clearly something that a lot of applications are doing. Nobody's paying attention to it. How do you secure? Everybody's just storing the data. Nobody cares if it's on a SQLite. A lot of people don't even know where they're storing it, even just plain text passwords, etc. And a funny story regarding that is, while a couple of my partners were playing CTF or Black Hat, one of the forensics analysis, I don't know if some of you actually did play this year, it was an iPhone forensics. And I was talking to them, they were laughing because apparently the guy who was preparing CTF bought an iPhone from a person, and he wiped it to try to only, you know, leave data that he needed it, I guess. But as the guys were doing forensics, they started getting like more into it and rocking it, and they actually were able to find, even though the phone supposedly was wiped or clean, whatever, they were able to find where the guy sold the iPhone, the GPS location, his Facebook credentials, his app credentials, etc. And it was so funny. I mean, we clearly pinpoint where the guy lived, we know where he went, where he bought coffee, where he sold the phone, etc. And that's iPhone. And the same thing happened with an Android. As I inherited an Android from one of my coworkers, an Android tablet, he wiped it in front of me 3 times using the default Android wipe. And after I started using it for like a week, I tried to went to a website. I went to Facebook.com to log in. And guess what? I was logging with his credentials, which I obviously took a screenshot. I was in Europe. I took a screenshot and I emailed to him. It's like, hey, I have your Facebook, dude. It's like really good wipe, by the way. And the same thing happened with Google Music. The same thing happened with a lot of applications. So every time I try to log into the Nuke application, it's like, oh, your credentials failed, whatever, whatever. And I'm like, no, I'm not that person anymore. You know, and I try to wipe it myself 2 more times, and the data is still there. So clearly the system wipe data, it's not as good as it should be. And a lot of the applications just keep the data there. And imagine as we move along and we expand this to an enterprise market, you know, what would happen if the CEO wants a new iPhone or a new Android tablet, and that tablet, he gets the newer one, and that tablet gets reassigned to a new guy? Can you imagine what would happen? Yeah. It's one of the secure apps that actually has all the financial data that the CEO clearly has the right to access, but the other guy doesn't. And, you know, if you expand this to enterprise businesses, it's starting to get really scary because we see that we don't have any kind of solutions of how to fix these things. So again, let's go to iOS specifically. I mentioned already it's applications are encrypted by default. They're Objective-C binaries. As I mentioned before, they're susceptible to the same vulnerabilities that any other application. Although we do have support for system-wide encryption, nevertheless, it's not there. I mean, as I mentioned before, we can do it, but it's bypassable. Hopefully, it's going to get fixed. We thought it was going to be fixed on 5.0. It was not. The same vulnerability is still there, so hopefully it's going to be fixed in the next update, or in the next one, or in the next one. But hopefully it's going to be fixed. As I mentioned before, one of the good things about the applications here is they're encrypted by default. So in order to be able to reverse them or actually look at them, first of all, you need a little bit more skills. You need to be able to actually do reverse engineering with IDA or any of the tools you use. Second of all, you need to be able to have a jailbroken iPhone, be able to actually run it, get it in memory, take the binary out of memory, dump it, and analyze it. So it does require not a really superstar hacker, but somebody with minimum level skills to start doing it. Windows 7, or Windows Phone 7, sorry. It's sub-based. I don't know if that's a word, but it sounded like a word, easily decompiled. Basically, what I'm trying to mean, it's just a zip file with DLLs and X files, which are Silverlight.net. So basically it means that you open it with any kind of decompiler and you have the entire source code. And as we develop apps, that's something developers should be aware of. You need to, even though you have obfuscation available, obfuscation is basically changing the name of get request to an A, and you still have the entire source code. It doesn't really help. I mean, it's not going to make my life really difficult to understand what the application is doing. The logic's still there, and it's much easier than actually going and look through assembly code. So by all means, I take their obfuscation any time of the day. One good thing that, you know, the applications were, I guess, Windows Phone 7 thought when they actually started deploying applications, was the fact that every application has to be signed and has DRM. And it's in red because as I started doing research into it, we actually found that it was well known that anybody could download any app and anybody could re-sign the applications because it's just all that requires that you open that zip file, you change the header XML file and re-sign it, and you just take the DRM off. So even though it's a good intention, it's there. It's something that right now it needs to be fixed, and hopefully it's going to be fixed in one of the next versions of Windows Phone 7. I did mention that Windows Phone 7 does not have system-wide encryption. Nevertheless, one of the good things that I found is that actually you do have libraries that allow you to have really good crypto, call it AES-256, really good SHA-256 hash algorithms, etc. I found that I actually do have really good how-tos. Nevertheless, as I mentioned before, given the fact that you do have control of the platform, it will be a much better idea to have system-wide encryption and be sure that everybody's protected and all the application's data is protected there in the first place, and leaving the security to the application, it doesn't really mean that much security. I mean, just because you have it, it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody's going to use it. And as my own experience auditing apps, it's that nobody's using it that much. Third one, Android. I would like to say it's a more hacker-friendly environment. It is. It has step-by-step debugging available. We in iOActive develop an application called Unbug that is awesome, and I'm not trying to use it, do any kind of like publicity, but I do use it and I like it, and that's how I actually got involved into mobile devices. And again, it's Java-based apps, so it's easily decompilable or whatever. Also, it stores data unencrypted. I mean, everything by default, most of the applications just store stuff on SQLite files. Apparently, I don't know, but SQLites are encrypted. That's my assumption, that everybody thinks they're encrypted, or that developers think that they're Face64 encryption or something like that. I mean, I really don't know why everybody is doing SQLite databases and dumping really sensitive data in them without even actually having like a username. Most of the time, you just go double-click, you know, you dump that SQLite into a into a little file, and you will hope they have some kind of protection, and nothing. You just double-click it, open it, and read it, and there you go. You start copy-pasting everything. I was like, yeah, I have vulnerabilities. Thanks for making my life easy. One of the good things, and actually I think is so far is one of the strongest features, is that it does support full disk encryption, not only for their main OS, but also for the SD card that you can actually get. Nevertheless, is if you start talking to even to security people, you know, if you use Android, raise your hand if you actually have full disk encryption. My experience tells me that not even us use it. So if you expand that to an enterprise level, it will really mean that you will have a lot of phones out there. Well, actually, we do have already a lot of phones out there that all their data is unencrypted. Everything is just going there. We have a lot of sensitive data, and they get lost. And guess what? All that data now belongs to whatever criminal actually picked that phone. And let's just hope he doesn't have bad intentions. Okay. Now we move along to the other one. We do have apps. You know, we know that apps are vulnerable, and we can actually exploit it and do whatever. But what happens if we actually have malicious apps? You know, can we push malicious apps to the stores? And the truth is that, yes, clearly we've seen it in the news, and it's kind of like, you know, the newest trend. We have malware, spyware, impersonating apps. Those are my best. You don't need to do anything bad. You just copy-paste the binary from Bank of America, do Bank of America Español, and ship it again as a new one. It's going to go in Android list. It's going to in the marketplace. It's going to be accepted. You don't need to, you know, you only need to pay $25. It's not a lot of money. And there you go, starting collecting credentials. You know, a lot of people will want a tool in Spanish. I mean, at least me, maybe. And actually, that's something that's been happening. A lot of banking apps in Chinese were pushed as the true app, and there was just a mere copy of the application that was just stealing credentials. And another thing that I will think is happening is hidden payloads on really good apps. Well, I mean, we know that from a perspective from the Android marketplace, we can push apps easily, but how we can actually do it on the iPhone and on the other markets, hopefully I would think that that's something that's already happening. We're seeing it with the malware apps that are hiding themselves, but we haven't seen it on the iPhone and on the Windows Phone 7, but that doesn't mean that because we haven't found them, it doesn't mean that they're not happening already. So how do we actually secure apps? I mean, I complain about the apps, I say they're crap or whatever, and now, but how do we actually, you know, it has to be secure apps. A lot of people is actually doing the things the right way. So one of the things we need to do is better encryption. All the platforms should have encryption available. They should have options and really good manuals and procedures on how to actually create encrypted databases, what kind of encryptions are good. In the SD case, they should have really good encryption methods available, etc. Obviously, better certificates, and that's one thing that, even though it's bypassable right now, it's one good thing about iPhone and Windows Phone 7. Their apps are encrypted or signed in, and they have DRM on it. So that would prevent somehow from applications being used in the wrong way. And the last one, but the one that is actually most important, is code reviews. I mean, come on, code review your apps. I'm not trying to say, do you go to a third party to do it, but at least have somebody else in the company review that app, do a little bit of code, make sure that, you know, that it's done the right way. And that's something, as I've seen and review apps myself, it's something that I actually realized. I'm pretty sure a lot of these apps have no sort of code review whatsoever. Because if they have gone through a code review, the same way in their other web applications or, you know, desktop applications went through a code review, a lot of the findings that we'll be finding, they wouldn't be there in the first place because they're really obvious. They're really just there. I mean, hard-coded credentials on the Java code is something that not even a security guy has to be aware to realize that that might be bad if somebody actually is able to get that. Last but not least, we move to stores. We have the platforms, we have the applications, but without the stores, you know, we wouldn't have the revolution that we had. I mean, nowadays, because of the stores, we can download an app for pretty much anything. All the way from the little light app that I use when I'm barbecuing, because my building has awesome barbecues, but they don't have lights next to it, I don't know why. So I'm like always trying to make sure that it's well cooked with a little light. All the way from there, all the way down to the medical apps that I mentioned. I mean, I don't know, I guess sooner we will see companies like, you know, Exxon and all those other things, you know, managing all refineries using apps, etc. I mean, it's going to be there. Everybody wants to use it. Everybody wants to do it. But what's happened with the market? Right now, what we're seeing is that the three biggest markets, the App Store, the Windows Marketplace, and the Android Marketplace, are pretty much available to everybody. There's no an enterprise point of view to it. Everybody can download any app. As long as you pay for it, you can download it. There's no tools for any of the platforms, and at least not good tools. I was impressed when I was looking at it that the most enterprise-ready tool out of the fully platform is the iPhone, which, you know, nobody will think the Apple, it's, you know, it's enterprise fully oriented. It will think about it as a more, you know, trendy end user. But nevertheless, the iPhone configuration tool is the one that has the more options to actually freeze and set up from an enterprise level those phones. Having said that, I'm not saying that it's perfect. I'm just saying that it's the best out of the three. Okay, so when we talk about stores, you know, how secure they are. Are we aware that, you know, companies are doing pen tests and secure reviews and all sorts of things against those servers? I mean, they're the main holder of all the applications and hence all the security that and all the malware and all the bad applications that could get possibly installed to you. Who's responsible for it? What are the security controls and enforcement for it? And most important, are they enterprise ready? You know, can we right now go and trust the stores to be sure that our employees are going to be able to, you know, work with it without any kind of security issues? So with that, we do know that actually they do have issues. And one of the issues that I found more important is the fact that we actually have the application acceptance process. As I commented before, in Google it's pretty much, here's my $25 and here's my app, and I'm done. That's the entire review. Hence, that's why we have a huge list of malware, spyware, and all of the above in their marketplace. On the other hand, the iPhone, the Apple, and Microsoft are a little bit better. They do reviews, but nevertheless, I mean, what is the review process? 2-3 days? So, I mean, I would love, I'm pretty sure my company would love to hire those auditors if they can go through apps in 2 or 3 days. I mean, seriously. And most surely are either automated tools doing it, doing code-based analysis or static-based, or doing, you know, code coverage to make sure there's nothing weird. But the truth is that is somebody with enough skills, not a lot, but enough skills, should want it to hide a payload in any of those platforms. The odds are he can do it. I mean, you could easily hide a payload on a JPEG and have some weird kind of time approach to launch that payload that will never be executed when they're auditing that app. It's not going to be covered, and you should be able to do it. Yes, you will have to have vulnerabilities to actually be able to escape from the sandboxing, etc. But given that those are there and we are aware that we do have vulnerabilities, you know, what are the implications of it? Do you really think that that's not going to happen? So, you know, real-life cases. And as I mentioned before, I waste many, many days while I was researching and searching for malware on the three platforms. And the one that I came, the winner was Android. And those are the from 0.9, I guess, if I come right. No, it's 6.8. There you go. 7 or 8. You got Droid Dream is the more latest one. But all of them are known, well-distributed malwares in the Android marketplace. Android, it's whenever somebody reports it, they take them out. But by the time they take them out, they have infected many, many, many thousands of users already. So you will think, you know, what do I care? I mean, it's just apps, users. But again, let's take the approach of the enterprise. What would happen if one of these apps was targeted towards company X? And, you know, we already seen there's a lot of targeted companies right now from a social engineer or from a mobile point of view. What would happen if those are targets? You know, what will happen if I publish, I don't know, a Lockheed Martin application, you know, or something like that? You're going to see it. A lot of users are going to go, oh, awesome, you know, I have this application. I can use it to check whatever options they're giving me, download it, install it, I get exploited. It's going to take Google more than a couple of hours to to actually realize that that is even going on there. So by the time they realize, you're going to have a lot of people infected. The mobile devices will be infected. If they're fully rooted, that means that now, right now, you have a, pretty much an entire computer at your disposal, that there's a really high chance that when that employee goes to that company, he will say, oh, you know what? My 3G sucks. I really would like to use the Wi-Fi from the enterprise. And there's your jump point. You will, that user will most surely connect to the Wi-Fi. And now you have from Wi-Fi, and then you can go to copper. And once you realize a company got hacked because somebody published an app on one of the app stores. So when you start thinking about those things and about those scenarios and putting them all together, we realize that we're starting to use a platform, and we're not even realizing that we don't even have the enterprise tools to be able to manage it. And it starts getting scary and scary. So, you know, I did talk fairly bad about the marketplace. What about the other two, iOS and Windows Phone 7? I couldn't find any known malware that is already, but I kind of drop a question to you. Is we have jailbreakme.com, do you really think we don't have malicious persons already exploring those vulnerabilities? I mean, if a person can easily go to a website and hack his iPhone and get rooted, do we really think nobody else is doing it? I mean, come on. They might not be doing it through a malware app, but they're clearly exploiting it. I mean, if you can do it for fun, you can definitely do it for profit. I mean, if I was a bad guy, I would do it. You know? I would definitely take that jailbreak website, look at it, try to get the vulnerability, or the same thing with the PDF vulnerability in the iPhone. I will definitely do it. I'm pretty sure, Alex, if you know, if you could run out of a job, you have a couple of exploits already. but it is true. I mean, the way I usually think when I have to, you know, do risk management to my client, it's if I was able to find it, it clearly means I'm not the smartest guy in the earth. So it clearly means there's going to be people that are way smarter than I am, and they have criminal intentions. So the odds are they're already doing it. So we talk about the stores itself, a little bit the applications, how they are. But you know, what is, from my point of view, their weakest point? We can fix a lot of the things, but what is my weakest point right now? And I think the worst thing that we're currently doing is we're taking this approach of a flat network for applications, basically, this flat space. Everybody has access to everything. Anybody can install any app. If it's in the App Store, you can reach it. As I mentioned before, iPhone does have some kind of like configuration tools, which is granular, and it's better than the other ones. But one of the options is you either accept the App Store or do not. Otherwise, you have to push each app. You know, IT will have to push each app in the profile. So what are the odds, if you start thinking about it from an IT perspective, if I were the IT guy, I would say, should I spend every day trying to set up iPhone, or should I just, you know, allow them to download whatever the heck they want? I'm just going to tell them, create a procedure that says you're not allowed to download apps, and just allow them. I mean, if it's really difficult to do it, the odds are nobody's going to go for the security. Everybody's going to go for the ease of use. So we're right now, we're in, you know, 2011 with a platform that it's like the internet when we first begin, flat, no kind of security, no nothing. You just, you, like I said, if you can reach it, you can install it. Let's say we can, you know, audit all the applications. I would say no. You know, I think nor Apple nor Microsoft, which are the ones already auditing, has the money nor the business interest to audit every application the way it should be audited. And they will also come back saying it's not our problem. Well, to some extent it is, because you're selling those applications yourself, but you're not developing ones. I mean, you cannot push your own software development lifecycle and security procedures to them. Otherwise, nobody will code. They will go to the competitor, which is more friendly, etc. So, you know, and the other thing is we need to somewhat trust developers. I mean, they're the ones doing the apps, so we need to trust them. We need to hope that they're security aware. And even then, you know, we also have applications that have malware, so they're clearly wrong intentions. So as I mentioned before, now, even though if we can trust them and we can audit them, the odds of a piece of hidden malware going by one of the auditors are really high. I mean, and as I was talking to some people today, I was saying, do you really think that we cannot hide a payload if it took us 15 years to find a bug in PHP with Blowfish? And I'm pretty sure a lot of really good security auditors look at it, but it took one guy actually searching for it to realize, and everybody was like, oh, it was there? Awesome. Only like, what, 15, 12 years to find it? A guy who actually really wants to hide something, he will be able to hide it. I mean, that is the truth. So clearly, enterprise needs a new approach. We need something better, something more enterprisey, something that allows businesses or allows, you know, Microsoft, Apple, or Google to provide a better solution, a more secure solution to it. So as I was thinking about it, you know, just dropping some ideas, it doesn't necessarily mean I have a solution. It's just one possible. It's why don't we take a little more, you know, different approach? We have the regular store. We have certified apps, which by certified apps, that could be a lot of things. But on my mind, it could be something like, okay, Microsoft trusts certain partners that they do, you know, really good apps, that we know that they have really security procedures. It's not the same IBM, VMware, Facebook, you know, doing an app that, you know, James from the garage doing his app. I'm not saying he's not a security expert, but in average, it could mean that clearly the big companies have much more money to invest in security, and they hopefully they will have better security, and you can trust them a little bit more. And they might have enterprise tools that wanted to maybe pay a little bit more for a little bit more difficult process of auditing to actually sell on their certified apps. And don't get me wrong, I'm totally pro the flat space. I mean, I love it. I love that I can pay $99 and make thousands of dollars. But it also scares me that a 10-year-old kid can do a little app, push it, and sell it, because I'm pretty sure he has not a lot of idea of security. He might be a really good coder, but doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be security aware. And if he can do it, some bad guy could copy his app and push it and make a lot of money by not actually selling the app, but by selling the information he's getting from the app. So we will have a certified app and an enterprise selected app. And if we look at it into, you know, we expand that secure green cycle, what I'm saying is Microsoft or Apple could have a set of apps that they trust. They say, these are enterprise ready. You know, we certified it. We have a better look at it. And then enterprise should be able to even narrow that even more and use a mix of the user space and the secure space or the certified space and decide, okay, we as company X want to allow, I don't know, Facebook, our medical app, and two more apps that we trust from the entire arena, but we don't trust anything more. And company B will say, well, we trust everything from certified, but we don't want user installing anything else. Or we only want those apps. And right now, that's something that none of the big competitors offer. And it's something that in my mind, as I see, like I mentioned before, I do compliance and I do source code review and reverse engineering. So from my compliance side, that's something I see all the time. And I see companies wanting to push more mobile devices. They don't realize that mobile space, it's not enterprise ready. It's kind of insecure. You know, it's one thing to go from do a search engine, take it from a search engine perspective. It's really easy to steal a phone if you go into a company, but if you got to get out with a bunch of laptops, you might get caught. I mean, unless you have a really good backpack that doesn't show, or you're still on like really small MacBook 11 inches, which are really small, or something like that. But it's not a thing. So, you know, we continue talking with the secure infrastructure. How do we actually make sure that it is secure? How do we make sure that it actually we are enterprise ready, as I'm saying? So clearly, as I mentioned before, we need certified, trusted partners and well-known applications. And I'm not trying to push anything. I'm just saying that's like general idea, something that, you know, each company can decide what they trust and what they do not trust, or what's the process of it. Clearly, hopefully, it's going to be a little more secure than the normal process. So, you know, it could be more expensive, whatever, but it should provide not only reactively in the sense that we're going to add your app, but it should hopefully also have some kind of proactive approach to it, saying, I would love to see if, you know, Microsoft wants to sell medical apps that they're going to be used on the medical business. It will be nice to see if you make sure and tell the guys, if you want to do apps that are on the medical section and they're certified, these are the minimum requirements for data encryption that you need to have, because you're going to go under compliance more surely. And this is the things we know compliance or, you know, business are going to require from a security perspective. I mean, that kind of proactive approach to it will be also as well, I mean, awesome. And it could be applied to everything. But the truth is, as I mentioned before, is I don't say do this everywhere because we have millions of apps, and auditing those millions of apps, it's just pointless. I mean, you don't really need to audit fully to make sure it's enterprise ready, a little light app, because what you want to do is make sure that the enterprise has the chance not to allow that app, period. And again, and that takes me to my last one, which is, you know, provide a better filters for applications. You know, being able, enterprise should be able to filter as much as they can and as much as they want. So I kind of like said a lot of bad things about the mobile space and the trifecta. But one thing that we haven't touched is we actually took this awesome idea, which is awesome. I do like the App Store. But we took this awesome idea, and we didn't even put any security on top of it, and we decided it would be an even better idea to take it to the desktop side. I mean, and Apple did it, and now Microsoft is going to do it with Windows 8. We're going to have a marketplace on it, which anybody can install any app on it. And that's where enterprise, I'm pretty sure, is going to be really happy to find out that maybe they're not going to have any kind of like limitations to it. So not only we can now infect our mobile devices, now we're going to be able to install / infect our desktops. And by desktop, you know, our mobile devices, don't think cell phones or a huge desktop. You know, nowadays, businesses are done differently. I mean, we all know, we all most of the time are like 80, 90% on our laptops or our tablets. So those are included as well. And those are the things that are going to have, you know, those middle devices are going to be the ones that have more and more sensitive, insecure stored data on it. So the current environment for desktop, you know, everybody knows it. We all live with it. We all hate it sometimes with changing passwords, blah, 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 and not being able to install whatever we want in the business app, which from an end user point of view, I hate it. From a security standpoint of view, I love it. And I have to go to companies and tell them they have to do it and be the assessor that everybody hates. But, you know, we do have a much more controlled environment right now, somewhat well-managed by IT. You know, it's not perfect, but it's good. It's been better than before. It's centralized. We have a lot of centralized tools that allow us to have full control, manage those, you know, desktops or infrastructure, etc. And, you know, we have a lot of applications and business around it. We have antiviruses, whitelisting solutions, and much better control for malware that we currently have for the mobile platforms. There are a couple of malware applications, but honestly, if you can push and install any app, the malware protection is not going to be that good. So let's take now that enterprise, the enterprise desktop space, to the mobile app. You know, how we could do it. We should definitely have, as I mentioned before, it's not really secure, so we should, if we want to push that into enterprise, we should have much more controls over the application environment. We should allow enterprise users to be able to narrow that list to almost zero if they wanted to. Only the things they want and only the things they need. If the enterprise wanted to allow Angry Bird because everybody loves to play Angry Birds in the business, well, it's your decision. But as providers, you know, the big companies should allow them to take that decision and filter that. One thing that is important also to remember is that responsibilities lie in the store, as we're going to talk in the next couple of slides. So, as I said, we do have the same issues as we have in the mobile environment. We are a little bit more well prepared in a lot of things, but at the same time, we're taking an approach that, in my point of view, is failing, and we're trying to take it into an enterprise environment that is already somewhat working well. So that means that we're going to do something going backwards, basically. And, you know, and it is true, applications will still have issues, but that's not the issue in question. The question is being able to have the tools ready for stores that allow enterprise business to work with them. So one of the things that I wanted to talk at the end, you know, once that we know all this, you know, once that we know that stores actually do make a cut out of it, you know, and they are the ones hosting the applications. They're making money out of it. So how much responsible they are for the app? I mean, what happens if something bad, you know, happens to the Facebook app? You know, if somebody's able to find a vulnerability, who's going to be fully responsible? Or what happens if, you know, our friend from the garage decides he wants to do a secure app to store, you know, sensitive passwords, and he thinks it's a good idea to actually code his own encryption algorithm. AES-256, ah, screw that, that's bad. I'm just going to write my own because I'm cool. And you know, if that gets compromised, and it's happening, for example, let's say, or, you know, the Google Android Marketplace with just a little malware, you know, do you, any of you remember the name of the guy who pushed the app, the malware app, or the bad app for the vulnerability? Or the only thing that we keep on hearing in the news is Google, 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 and Google. At the end of the day, it is true, it's a shared responsibility, the application developer and the store owner. But when it comes to news, nobody really cares, because news don't sell when you mention the little guy. News sell when you mention Google, Microsoft, or Apple. Everybody wants to hear that, you know, bad news are good news. So from a PR perspective, whether we like it or not, it might not be a security issue, but the reality is that PR, it's a money maker. So if nobody trusts your market, nobody's going to go to it, and your enterprise business partners are not going to use it. So even from that point of view, it's something that we have to be really aware of, because whether we like it or not, we move the responsibility from the applications into us. Because now we are in the middle, you know, and we are responsible for providing those apps, and we are somewhat responsible. So, and I think it from my own self, you know, before, if I get mad, every time I install an app, I'm thinking, if I get owned with this app, damn, you know, I use an Android, so damn Google for it, you know, hopefully they were able to filter this. But I know, from a security perspective, I know who is responsible at the end of the day and who is to blame, because I can audit the app and do it. But the common user is not going to know, and they're going to blame either the owner of that phone, which the owner of, you know, the owner of that OS or that platform, which is one of the three main competitors, as I mentioned before. So, you know, to make it short, it's, I trust the store, I pay Microsoft, Google, or Apple, and like I said, it's a shared responsibility, but the market owners have much more to lose. They're the big fish, and they're the ones that everybody's going to come afterwards. If a company gets compromised for an app, let's say, and they need to recover, who they're going to sue, the app or the store? And, you know, those are the things that we also need to worry. Yes, they have nothing to do with security, but they have a lot to do with real life. And, you know, in order to avoid those things from our responsibility as security guys, we need to make sure that we have the tools and the markets ready, so if that comes to happen, we could say, no, we provided the security things, and it's your responsibility. You did the wrong thing. We did exactly what we were supposed to do. So I don't know how I'm in time, but...
You're great on
time. Oh, awesome. So a couple of final thoughts, and, you know, just to leave with a couple of ideas to, you know, think about afterwards. I totally, even though I talk a lot of bad things about the stores, and I totally think they're the right path. Decentralized for enterprise is awesome. I don't need to host the apps. I can trust the applications. It's kind of like the same thing we did with Windows updates, or, you know, now we can push the updates. We can trust they're going to be always, everybody's, you know, all, we can push it. It's a good solution. It's amazing. Everybody can do it from around the world. You know, it doesn't matter where you are, you can install them, but we need to make sure, again, and I don't get tired of saying it, we need to make sure that we are ready when this becomes mainstream in enterprise. It's already somewhat being used, but, you know, as we've seen, markets are growing and growing and growing, and we're going really fast, so in 2 years, it's going to be everybody in the enterprise using it, and I can't stop thinking that in 5-10 years, I'm no longer going to be using an laptop, I'm going to be using a mobile device that I'm going to be doing everything there, and I would like to see my mobile device enterprise ready to be able to secure all the, you know, the stuff that I have for my clients or blah, blah, blah. So the other thing is security awareness for developers. I mean, we see that everywhere, and I think it also applies here, and I mentioned before, and we have developers that are just going into the game without knowing anything, and from an enterprise application developer, I mean, I would certainly hope and want, you know, the big fishes, Twitter, Google, or any kind of like MD or any kind of credit card company, any kind of banking company, that they are developers doing those apps, they're security aware, that they go through training, that they, you know, the same kind of mechanism that we currently use as a security industry, from like web apps, we move it to the mobile environment, you know, secure training for mobile application development, etc. You know, at the end of the day, the developers are the ones coding the app, so they should be the ones knowing what is good and what is not. I like to say that security should be the grammar of a writer. You know, if a writer wants to be a good writer, he should have good grammar. If a developer wants to be a good developer, he should have good security in mind, at least. I mean, errors happen to everybody. I'm pretty sure, you know, the best writers in the world do make mistakes and typos. The same good thing could happen to a developer. But if you want to consider you a great developer, you should be security aware. It's your grammar. You cannot fail at it. I mean, and again, more enterprise controls. I mean, clearly, it's something we're currently lacking. We do have a great platform, but we are not enterprise ready. Again, like I said, you know, more enterprise controls. A lot more, please.